Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Wednesday evening Bible study. I'm Robert Stumpf, and this is the eighth of our eight-part series. So this is our last one, and I'm just sorrowful that I'm going to be finishing up today because I tell you, I've really enjoyed meeting with you each week for the last 2 months. But I've got to stop someplace, so this is a great place to stop. There's a lot I want to cover today, but mostly it's really important to me to convey to you the message today that you 2.0, the new version of you, the upgraded version, it's God's upgrade, is now the fellowship that we have with God Himself, that we're led by Him, that we're in a relationship with Him, and that you're not your own anymore. You've been upgraded now to be a spiritual man or woman, a son or daughter of God, His own people. And I think I just want to leave you with that today. And we're going to go over some verses, and we're going to talk about some stuff about our relationship with God now. Because in this world, it is not difficult at all to be distracted. It is not difficult at all to have cares and concerns and worries and pressures that are put upon us. It's very easy to slip into a self-isolation where you're handling life on your own through your intellect and your resources. And I want to just remind us today that God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never speak evil of us. He'll never be angry with us. He will always love us and be with us. And so today I want to talk about worshiping God, rejoicing in the presence of God, coming into a greater relationship with Him Himself. Last week we talked about love, the love of God, and how much love God is, not in volume, but in who He is personally, that He is love itself. It says in John 17:3, let me just turn there real quick to recap from last week. In John 17:3, it says that this is how we know love, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So the way that we know love is by knowing God, who is eternal life. You know, that's easy to say in words. It's easy to read it into a book. But to live a life that the love of God is bubbling up out of us unto eternal life, this is the kind of life that dominates. It's the invasive kind of life that takes ground and matures and grows into everlasting. You and I are everlasting. We are going to go from today, tomorrow, the next day, with no end of days in our life. When we start believing that that's true, and we start thinking about how should I be living my life, now that I'm going to be with God for all eternity, that I'm a citizen of heaven, that I am a son of God Himself or a daughter of God Himself, how should I live my life? How should I live my days on this earth? What should I be preoccupied with? What should I consider as valuable? How should I be if I am eternal? Now, you know God is love. And you know, He's promised us everlasting life, and we have these things. But I want to let you know something. God is also fun. He's pretty cool. God is good. And you know, some of us really forget that God is good because we are dealing with the pressures of this world ourselves. We are going through this life with the amount of money that we think we have or available to us, with the kind of relationships we've got, with the asset base that's around us, and so on and so forth, however you measure. And we need to realize that God is good all the time, and that He is love, and that He has given us eternal life through knowing Him. He is everlasting life. Now, when we put that all together, that is really awesome. Because if God is for us, really, who can be against us? Unless we separate ourselves from God, there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Not famine, not war, not danger, not people freaking out on you. And there's a big list in the Bible that we can't be separated from, or rather can't separate us from the love of God, except if we choose to be separated ourselves, if we choose to be distracted by so many other things. So I'm going to just go ahead and start today. I want to start today with Isaiah 26:3. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I just love it, and I want to share it with you. So Isaiah 26:3. Here's my favorite scripture, one of them. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, it says in the first part of verse 4. So he gives us perfect peace. That's shalom, shalom. Perfect peace when our minds are stayed on him. Not when we casually think about God. Not when we are in the middle of a storm and a trouble and things are going crazy for us. And we go, oh, I forgot to pray. And we just get caught up in the moment. We've all done it. But when we can learn how to keep our mind stayed on the Lord, he keeps us in complete completeness, the fullest fullness, the wholest wholeness. Perfect peace. So here's how we do that. And so today's subject, what I want to talk about today, is worshiping God. Rejoicing in the presence of God with a thankful heart and worshiping God. You know, I think that worshiping God is under, what's it called, when we don't put as much value on it as we really need to. And I think, in my experience, that sometimes when we go to church on Sundays or whatever time you go to church and we sing a few songs, it's quite possible to get caught into the singing as a participatory thing rather than really focusing on worshiping God and coming into his presence. We need to deliberately groom our relationship with the Lord. Because after all, he's invisible. It's not like you can just turn around and, oh, there he is. Now, I want to let you know that you can feel the presence of God as you cultivate a relationship. Or if he wants to make himself known, oh, sure, you can feel the presence of God. But most of the time, we have to do it by faith without feeling anything. And by faith, we start worshiping God whom we can't see, who we can't feel. And by faith, we start worshiping him. And as we start worshiping him, then the feelings usually come after that. And you can say, oh, the presence of the Lord is here with me today. I believe that that's an underutilized gift or tool or practice in the body of Christ. Go with me, if you will, to Psalms 100. In Psalms 100, the writer of the Psalms had a revelation of God, I believe. And in that revelation of God, they shared this great psalm with us. And I'm almost there. Patience, patience. It's getting there. You guys are probably trying to find it too in your Bibles. And I do encourage you, use your Bible. I mean, even though this is our last one, I hope that I got it down in your heart and down in your soul that you need to see this in your book. When you see it in your book and your eyes see it in your book, something locks it into your heart and it lets you kind of memorize it in that spot, which validates it and makes you own it a little better. Remember in James when I said by the engrafting of the word, which is able to save your soul by this word being planted in your heart? So look at this verse with me, will you? So Psalms 100, says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. You know, some people say they're self-made men. Well, I want to let you know, this says you're not. This says that God created you. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? We need to come into his presence with singing, with joy, raising our hands and worshiping jubilantly. That word, you know, excitedly. Is that even a word? We need to come into his presence and have joy in the presence of God. And I want to let you know, I know sometimes we have troubles in this world. Sometimes there are issues that are bothering us. We have desires that we haven't seen the answer to. We have prayers that might not have manifested yet. There are things we carry. I realize that. But I want to let you know, God gave you a special, special skill. It's an incredible skill that he gave you. And you can use it anytime you want. And that is the skill of placing your attention where you want it. Isn't that incredible? You have that skill. You're able to put your attention on this or on that. You're able to focus in and hone in on the things you really want to pay attention to. You know, I have that gift. There is sometimes, you know, that I'll be in a room with a bunch of people. And there'll be chattering going on and talking going on and noise all around that room. But I'm sitting close to this person here and they're talking and I'm having a hard time hearing them. Do you know that God has given me this skill that I can tune my ears to their voice? I can place my focus onto them. And somehow when I do that, the rest of the things in the room, oh, they're still there. But they're quieter to me. I've filtered them out. It's not like silent. It is that I'm not as aware of those things because I've honed my attention in on that person that I want to hear what they're saying to me. You know, I've been at concerts before and the music is so loud, it's deafening. And there'll be somebody right next to me and they'll be yelling to try to talk to me. And somehow you are able to focus in and hear what they're saying because your attention is to hear. You desire to actually hear what they're saying and you can tune that incredible noise, in my opinion, out. So, this is the way with God. When we come in to a church service or in your living room and you decide that you want to worship God, you can do so. You can tune out everything else and come into the presence of the Lord with singing, with a thankful heart, with praises to him. And I want to encourage you, if anything you got out of these 8 weeks of these teachings of you 2.0, God's upgrade, it's this. Worship God. Trust God. Have faith towards God. That when we can really do that and groom that relationship with him, everything else falls into place. So, can I just talk to you for a minute? I have found this to be very, very true. That like a river, the love of God is always flowing to you and to me. The blessings of God are always flowing to you and to me. The goodness of God is always flowing to you and to me. The answers of our prayers are yes, and in Him, amen, are always flowing to me. The Bible says in James that He's given us all things richly to enjoy. It's always flowing to me. God delights in the prosperity of His people. It's always flowing to me. By His stripes, you were, past tense, healed, is always flowing to me. They're always pouring out and always true to me. But I may not be able to walk in the reality of those things because of the rocks that are in my heart that are blocking the flow of the life of God to fill and nurture and build up my life. Does that make sense? Worshiping by setting my attention on God Himself, not trying to get anything from God, to be with Him Himself. I think the more you can practice that, whether you're in your living room, whether you're at church, whether you're on your job, whatever it is, to become aware of the Lord in everything that you're doing, thanking Him, rejoicing in His presence, talking with Him through the day, sharing your food. When you're eating your food, you know, the original tithe was food back in the day. And God would tell them to take one-tenth of all that you got, and I'm going to pick a place, and I want you to go there with one-tenth of your harvest and bring along the orphans and the strangers and all the Levites that are within your lands there, and I want you to bring all those guys together with you, and let's have a party and enjoy that first fruits of your harvest. And I want you to do it with me, He said. See, God wants to participate in your whole life. And the more you'll bring Him into your entire life, to where your mind is always stayed on Him, then you can go about your day doing things and you're always with the Lord in everything you do, you will see the fruit of His life pouring forth from you into every area, in your gardening, in your work, in your relationships, in the health of your body, in every aspect, the clarity of your mind, and you will be able to walk in a joy, in a confidence, in a boldness, and in a freedom that many, many people can't enjoy. I can't even tell you how many people I meet that just have a sour or negative position about themselves because they have been so disappointed and so hurt in this world. They look at everything like, what's the catch? All the time, because they don't know how to really flow in the life of God. They haven't been able to have a friendship with God yet, but you and I can do that now through You 2.0, God's upgrade, by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Go with me to John 6:63. In the book of John, who we talked about in the last message, he wrote these books on love. He's the one that laid on Jesus' breast. He was very, very close to the Lord. And he wrote this. And I want to read this to you. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Do you hear that? The words that Jesus speaks to us, they're spirit and they're life. And if we don't have a close relationship with Him, then the words that He speaks to us, we can't get life from them. This is a big point. The more you're in relationship with Jesus by the Holy Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Father in you, as they speak to you and they lead you and they guide you as your spirit, the life of God flows through you into others. See, Jesus said that those of us who worship God, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We have to do that. And to worship God in truth means the genuineness of who you are worships God. Not the trying to get something, not trying to please God, not trying to be spiritual, not, oh, I'm supposed to, but the genuineness of who you are as a person worships God. Just that inner invisible one that's inside of us. And as we do that, as we worship God, we raise our hands, we rejoice, and we sing, and we dance, and we have fun in the presence of God, that life of God flows out of us and in us, that jubilant, I'm going to get that word one day, jubilant, I think is the word, is going to increase inside of us through the presence of God in our lives. Amen? Amen. So here's the thing. Remember when I said that there are people that have like a negative bent to themselves and a negative slant? All of us do in the beginning. We all do. And when we get born again and the new life of Christ starts flowing through us, we need to start renewing our mind because we have that old programming in us. And the old programming we have to wash away by renewing our minds and not being conformed to this world. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, you and I have to be able to prove how good God is to ourselves by renewing our minds to Him. And we have to do this by faith. Go with me into Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, I want to read just the first few verses of Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, chapter 4 is talking about Abraham, that by faith he believed God. Okay? And then it goes into that we became innocent or acquitted, actually, because of what Jesus did on the cross. We became innocent as if we had never sinned by accepting what Jesus did. He paid for it all. So that means we're completely clean and clear and accepted into the heart and the presence and family of God. Well, I want to let you know, just because that's true doesn't mean that people experience that in their lives. We have to truly renew our minds to that truth. We have to let go of the judgments, let go of the wounds, and we have to actually learn what forgiveness actually means, how to divorce ourselves from something and to let it go so that we can believe by faith what God is saying to us. Amen? So look at this in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We'll start, and I'll probably read through 2, verse 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That means that by faith we can stand in the faith. We have favor with God. And we do this by faith. We stand in that because of what Jesus provided for us. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, maybe I haven't shared this with this group, but I've shared it quite a lot, that the glory of God is going to be what erupts inside of us. The life of God, as we are changed in a twinkling of an eye, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself will cause us to shine like lights, because of His Spirit that's in us, this new life. And we look forward to that day. But we stand right now by faith in this grace, this favor that God has given us until that day. We joyfully rejoice looking forward to when this body is going to be swallowed up by life. This flesh is going to be beaming with the life of God. But until then, we stand by faith in this grace and this goodness of God. So we have to renew our minds right now to the truth of who we are and ultimately what we shall be. We don't know exactly what we're going to be, but we know that when we see him, we'll be like him. And so the thing is that we have to have patience now in this time when we're not seeing the fullness of the manifestation of the life of God flowing out of us. We have to wash ourselves. We have to renew ourselves to the truth of this goodness of God. So as we remember and remind ourselves of the goodness of God, we start being able to manifest that. By remember the analogy I gave of the stream and the rocks? See, the blessing and the goodness of God is always flowing to us. And the more that we will renew our minds, the more that we will let that stuff go, the more we will not hold people accountable to the things they've done wrong to us. The more we'll stop judging others when they don't behave the way we think they should behave. And we start letting those things go and putting our attention on God and rejoicing in God and letting the reality of our relationship with God supersede everything else. Then we start seeing things the way God sees them. We start speaking the way that God speaks in those situations, and we start getting the results that God gets in those situations. I mean, after all, I wonder if Jesus panicked when they ran out of wine at the wedding, the first miracle the Bible talks about that he did publicly. I wonder if he panicked, or did he have such a close relationship with the Father that he just was led on what to do next? See, you and I can have that close relationship with God by worshiping and praising and rejoicing in him, that the glory and the presence of our Heavenly Father is on us and with us all the time. And as that fragrance of him is always with us, then whatever we come in contact with, our light will shine in that moment. How many of you have ever met a person? You're in the store, you're in the dentist office, you might have been getting gasoline or walking downtown sometime, and you just met a person. And when you met that person, you knew they were a Christian. Not because they said they were a Christian, but because of the light and the life that they had all around them. You knew it. Because Christians are many Christs. Pastor Trey likes to say, Christ I ams is a Christian. And that means that you and I have a relationship with God, that his spirit and our spirit are made one. And in that oneness, we have a relationship that no matter what other people want to do to us, they can't break that relationship if we will set our attention on knowing him through the Bible, through prayer, through rejoicing in his presence and worshiping him. I encourage you, you know, test me in this. See if I'm telling you the truth. Go into your living room, your bedroom, some room in your house when you're not going to be embarrassed to cut loose and enjoy God. The way you would cut loose if you knew that nobody is watching. You know, you know, there's a saying that says, dance like nobody's watching. Well, those of you that know me, I was up in the balcony one day during worship service, just dancing and cutting loose. And you know how you do when you don't think anybody's watching? You can act a fool. And when nobody's watching, I was doing that. Well, somebody videotaped me. They recorded it on their phone. And then you know what they did? They played it on Facebook. And I want to let you know something. I was truly embarrassed when I saw that. But I also laughed because I was ridiculously silly. I was the perfect example of someone who danced like nobody was watching. Because you don't care. You don't judge yourself. You just let the expression that's on the inside of you come out. Amen? Unregulated freedom. And people loved that little short clip. They saw that I acted a fool. They saw that I was me. But the thing was, it put a smile on their face because the fact that I was uninhibited, not knowing anybody was recording it, brought real joy to their faces, because all of us love when somebody's truly being a free expression of the love of God. So go into a room someplace. Go park your car somewhere where there's no one going to catch you. And just see if I'm telling you the truth. If you will just worship God, not to try to get anything, but to just connect with Him and worship Him and tell Him how much you love Him and how much you're thankful for the fact that you have food on your table and clothes on your back, the fact that you have people who love you in your life, and whatever it is that you can thank Him for, and you start doing that and being in His presence just to honor Him. For no other reason, just honor Him and see if the goodness of God doesn't swallow you up. See if it is, doesn't. And I promise you, the presence of God Himself brings you joy. It does. He is that good. And as we get that joy of the Lord, not for the sake of the joy, but for the relationship with God, then what can happen? What can men do to you? You don't care what other people think. You won't care how people judge you. You won't care if they write little negative comments. Don't write any negative comments. On your little posts that you do. You know what? It doesn't matter, because you've resigned yourselves to the presence and the glory of God. And as we do that, that is eternal life. That's eternal life. Not memorizing this book, although reading it transforms you, but it's not what gives you life. Look at this in 2 Corinthians real quick. If you'll go into 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let me just read this to you just real quickly. It says in verse 6, it's probably not going to be up there because I might be going too fast for it. Let me see. Oh, no, she's quick, isn't she? It says, "Who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So what he's saying here is even though we have the Ten Commandments, which God wrote with His own finger and gave to Moses for their law to follow them, searching that and searching all the rules that they had back in those days isn't what gives you life. It's the Spirit that gives you life. God gave us the rules so that we can see how we need a Savior, how we need to be rescued, what's really in our hearts, and how to conduct ourselves in the presence of God. What's God's will? What's God's way? How does God do things? He gave us both of those here. But that's not what gives us life. What gives us life is the Spirit of God Himself. So as we are worshiping the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, the Father, who are all one, who are one Spirit with us, as we worship Him, as we rejoice in His presence, as we have a thankful heart and really connect with Him, that's where the flow of life comes for everlasting life to start manifesting in your body and in mine. And as that life flows, the rocks and the blocks and the hindrances, they get removed. And as they get removed, the life of God just automatically will start nourishing your flesh. It'll start nourishing your mind. It'll start nourishing the idea of who you are. It will start bringing health and life to every part of you, in your bank accounts, in every area, because the blockages are removed through the worshiping of God. He makes us clean. He flows through us. He is everlasting life. He is love. He is prosperity. And as we're flowing through all of that, it just nourishes our whole world. So many people, If I can just talk with you about this and let's just get real on these things. So many people are praying and asking God for things. They want this. They want that. They need this. God, don't you see this? Can't you tell that this is terrible and you need to fix it? And they're making all these requests to God. But it never crosses their mind to just worship God, who is the solution to all of these things. You see, because when your heart is for Him and you learn how to say good things, you learn how to stir yourself up when you don't even feel like it, when you're all feeling heavy and you're cast down and you start worshiping and putting on praise into your life, and then that fog and that cloud lifts and breaks and whew, life floods right back through you again. That river washes through you again. You know, I was in heaven once, and I just want to let you know that as I was there in front of the Lord sitting on the throne, the love that was pouring out of Him and out of His throne was washing through me. And I was bawling and crying because I've never experienced that kind of love that only the presence of God can bring. Another person can't give it to you because their spirits don't have the same vitality that God's spirit has. And so their spirit can only convey so much life to you as a person. But through the Spirit of God, He can convey so much more through and to us because He is the everlasting Spirit. And as I was in the presence of Jesus, this love was flowing through me and washing me. I had never experienced anything like that. And there was thousands of people on their faces worshiping God. And this love was just running over the top and through all of us. A bit longer, some things happened, and that wave changed. And all of a sudden, it was acceptance. And this acceptance of God isn't like any person can accept this. He allows us, wants us. We're completely allowed to be in His presence anytime we want. I don't care what you've been going through. I don't care what you've done. You're completely accepted in the presence of God. And I tell you, there's nothing that can stop you from being in the presence of God. Jesus paid the price for everything. And don't let the devil tell you, well, I did this. I'm guilty of that. I've been shameful in this area. It's the way the devil robs you from being able to come into the presence of God. When I experienced these waves of acceptance, I thought the love was strong. These were even stronger. I never realized how welcomed we are in the presence or the throne room of God. We really are completely accepted and welcomed in His presence. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, come into the presence of the Lord with singing, with dancing, with shouting, with waving your hands, or sit quietly and honor Him quietly. But come into His presence and let the life of God flow out of you so that you can experience what it is to be filled with the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when we read that yesterday or last week in Ephesians? To be rooted and grounded in love, that we can be filled with the fullness of God? That comes by relationship. It comes by being stayed in His presence. It comes by focusing and honing in our attention onto Him. And as we hone in our attention onto Him, then the life of God starts flowing through us. And it's not a matter of your brain, like it says in Ephesians, to where they're strangers from the life of God because they're just living in the obscurity of their minds. It is that we start having real fellowship with the spirit life of God that flows through us. That's where the miracles come in, you guys. That's where the answers to prayers come in. That's where all the fullness of joy comes in. Let me just read something to you real quick. I want to read to you what the Bible says is going to be flowing out of you as you spend time in the presence of God. When you do, remember when I read you 2 Corinthians 3:18? And I said that when the blinders come off of your eyes and you're able to look at yourself in the mirror, remember when I had the mirror up, and you're able to see yourself in the mirror as the glory of the Lord, that comes by the Spirit of the Lord. It comes off of the Spirit of God. So as we're worshiping with Him, we're being changed into His image, into His likeness, renewed in His mind through that association of the fellowship that we have with Him. Right? That's where it really happens in. I just forgot what scripture I just asked you to go to, so don't worry about it. I got distracted by this other. The life of God is what really matters. That as we truly have set my heart. So let's just look at what that can look like for you. That can look like you in your car praying in your heavenly language. That can look like you digging in your garden and just getting your hands in the dirt and thanking God for the food that grows from the earth. That can be like when you go to pay a bill, you actually have the money in your account to pay the bill. You can be thankful for the day of the Lord is at hand, and that there's nothing that can snatch you away from the hand of God. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. You can rejoice about so many things all the time. And when we have an attitude of gratitude, thankfulness towards Him, and grooming that relationship, supernatural things happen. Truly supernatural things happen. And in that is where the miracles take place and other people's lives are transformed. Amen? Amen. You know, there was so many things that I wanted to talk about in this 8 weeks, but this is the way the Holy Spirit wanted it to go. I think that He wanted the systematic me to just lay this out. I didn't cover everything. It's really going to take some real in-depth times to cover absolutely everything that you would want to talk about in the new you 2.0. But we hit some highlights. We hit some important things here. And I'd like to just remind you of a few things before we close out this series. One, that in your flesh, in your own strength, there's nothing you can do to please God. You can't be good enough. You can't be kind enough. You can't. You have to do it by faith through the Spirit of God, the new you. And when you do it by faith through the Spirit of God, that pleases God. Not your conduct, your reality, the fact that you own who you are in Christ. You please the Lord when you walk according to the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's what He wanted me to talk about. The things that we have by being in fellowship with the Spirit. Go with me to Galatians real quick. So in this book of Galatians, Paul writes about walking in the Spirit. Okay? That just means walking with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you by yourself with the Spirit of God and God's not there. It means you hand in hand, spirit to spirit, one with God. You're walking in the life of the Spirit of God. That when you do these things, you will no longer fulfill the works of the flesh, but now you're going to start having the fruit, or you're going to start being like God, manifesting these things in your life. And that's this. So in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, this is what it says. And this is going to be your measuring stick. Remember when I told you in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love is your measuring stick on for you? For how much it's going to bless you, be an advantage to you, is by the amount that you're able to walk in love? Well, now this is the measuring stick for seeing how transformed you really are becoming. These are nothing that you work to do. You don't try to do these things. Being in the presence of God, this will be the natural byproduct of your life. Other people will see the evidence of this in your life if you walk in it by a relationship with God. So this is how you can tell, and others will tell. Remember when I said you can meet somebody on the street and you just tell they're a Christian? that they have the Spirit of God in them? It's because you recognize these things in their life. So here's what will happen when you spend time worshiping the Lord, rejoicing, being thankful, acknowledging Him in all of your ways. These are the things that are the byproduct of spending time with God. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Let's just start with those three. That's the fruit of hanging out with God. If you hang out with God who is love, you will be identified as a person who loves. You will be identified as a person who has joy because you're hanging out with God. You will be a person who has peace. When things are going on around you, you still have peace because you're being identified as this is the fruit of God's been in your life, that you've been hanging out with God. Long-suffering. Ooh, we hate that word, but it's a great word. I got to let you know. Long-suffering means that you're going to believe God. He said something for you or to you. And even though there's no proof of it in your life at all, you're going to keep clinging to what He said and holding to what He said, even though it doesn't look like it's true in your life. But you're going to be patient. You're going to hang in there and you're not going to change your tune. You're not going to change what you say. You're not going to go, well, maybe. You're not going to do that. Long-suffering is a fruit of being with God. His timetable is not my timetable, but when I trust Him and I believe Him, it doesn't matter what I have to walk through. That's me learning how to let go of the old stuff, the things that I used to believe. I have to let go of those things. And as I can keep trusting God over the long haul, that's a fruit. Because remember, God never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In God, there's no shadow of turning. None. He's always everywhere all the time. And so we have this fruit of being long-suffering. We don't have to have it right this second. We can be patient because we know God doesn't lie. We can be kindness. We can be kind to other people. So being kind and seeing that in our lives is a fruit of being with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says that even anybody who hangs out with God, they even take good care of their animals. That's the proof of a righteous person, is that they're kind to animals even. Can you believe that? That's a nature of God. How about this? Goodness. That's one of my favorite ones. Goodness starts flowing out of us because God is good. Remember in the Old Testament when I was telling you back in Numbers chapter 14-ish about that? He was so upset because they wouldn't believe that God is good. They wouldn't believe He would take care of them. They always rejected Him. They always looked at themselves instead of trusting the goodness of God to pull them through. So as you spend time with God, you'll start manifesting goodness also. Faithfulness. People will be able to trust you. People will be able to depend on what you say will happen because you mean what you say and you say what you mean. You let your yes be yes and your no be no because everything else is from the evil one, the Bible says. So people can start seeing you as faithful. You honor your word. You do what you say you're going to do. That's a valuable thing because God does. He absolutely does. These are the signs of a person who's been worshiping, fellowshipping, and hanging out with God. These are the things. You can't decide to do this to prove you're godly. This is a byproduct. Gentleness. We all know what that means. Self-control. Oh, let me just act like I didn't even read that one. Oh, let me just forget about that entirely. Self-control. No, 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 no. I don't like that one. That means that I can't do what I feel like doing. I can't just be blowing up and yelling at people when I want to yell at them. I can't be cussing out the guy in his car driving crazy or blocking me off or am I in traffic thinking they're driving slow just to despite me. No, I've got to exercise self-control. That means that you really do realize that the influences of this world are always going to be on you. They're always going to be pressuring you to capitulate. Boy, I'm using words I shouldn't be using today, huh? to follow it, to give in to it, because the pressure of this world is always on us. And it's too easy to give in and just blow a gasket once in a while or say some gossipy thing about somebody sometime. You know, but being in the presence of God, worshiping Him, keeping our mind stayed on Him, straining to remain in a focused, committed relationship with Him, pretty soon you'll start controlling your own self. You'll stop having outbursts of wrath. You'll stop blowing up and being angry. When somebody does something, you won't automatically think evil and want to jump their case. You'll hold yourself in. You'll start controlling yourself because of the Spirit of God that's in you. You're letting Him lead you instead of you just reacting. You're just doing something. You let Him lead you. Just like a horse. You have to control your horse, don't you? Because it has a mind of its own. Well, the old man has a mind of his own. And so we have to be in charge of him by the Spirit of God, exercising this self-control. And it ends by saying, there is no law against these things. There's no rule. There's nobody that can tell you you should not walk in these aspects of God in your life. It's the byproduct of relationship with Him. And as you and I continue to worship, continue to praise, continue to rejoice, continue to say good things about Him, and be aware of Him continuously, letting Him lead us, these fruits will be evident in our life also. Amen? Amen. You know, I can go on and on and on with this Bible. This is so filled with life. So I'd like to remind you that reading your Bible, getting to know everything that's written in this, not just having one and it's sitting on your shelf, not just collecting them because you've got every translation and all kinds of revisions. Those are great. But if you don't have a relationship with one of your Bibles, whether it's electronic or it's printed, you've got to have a relationship with this book that everything that's in it gets inside of you. Because there's no way you can get to know the invisible God. There's no way you can know the attributes of the invisible God if somebody doesn't tell you what it's like. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have to have this Bible in us. We have to be able to fellowship and actually care about the people around us. And as we start doing those things, we will start seeing the blooming abundance of the presence of God flowing through us and into the life around us, that we will be like beautiful water, fertilizers that is just planting and growing all around us by being generous and kind and loving. Those things will be the attributes of the new you 2.0. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you, will you? Miss Judy, if you'd come up. You know, Judy, I thanked her last week for always being there for playing the piano, but let's thank Julie also. She's one of our people in the congregation. She's the one that puts those verses up for us that you can read. And you know, sometimes we don't acknowledge everybody that's behind the scenes. We got Bruce on the camera and Pastor Trey's helping me with the time. We have other people that make it possible so that you can have these messages. And it's really easy to just think, oh, it's all about the guy up here in the podium. It's all about the guy talking. I want to let you know, it is absolutely not all about the guy who's talking. Praise God for the guys who talk. You know, but God can use a donkey if He wanted to. You know what? Every one of us has some kind of a gift from God. Every one of us has a part in the kingdom of God. And just because you're doing one thing today doesn't mean that's your forever thing that you're going to be doing in the kingdom of God. God moves you. He gives you giftings. You learn skill sets. There's things. Love God. Find out where God's doing something and join Him and do whatever little part you can do, whatever it is, however small or large it is. Join the work of God. I'm telling you, it will bring life to you. So that's why I just wanted to acknowledge everyone here that's helping us to do this, because it's all of us together that are able to bring this teaching to you. And I just encourage you, do your thumbs up, share this stuff. Go ahead. Miss Judy, if you'll play. Father, I just pray for our listening audience today. Father, I just thank you for every person who has watched these messages, Lord. Every person that has your spirit in them, Lord. Father, I ask that you'd bring revelation knowledge, dreams and visions, unctions, Father, and desires into this group of people, Lord. That they can help others, Lord, be set free and come into the kingdom of God, overcome hurdles, be made whole again, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask that you equip everyone that can see or hear me praying right now to have eyes to see and ears to hear, that they can see and hear the cries of other people's hearts, Lord, that they can unlock the troubles that they carry, Father. Father, you've got all kinds of people in the body of Christ. They do all kinds of wonderful things. Let us not judge one gift or another, Lord, but let us love everyone equally with the fullness of who we are, Lord, that we can not only embrace one another, but Father, that we embrace you through one another, Lord. I give you all the glory and all the praise. And I thank you for every one of these individuals. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. I enjoyed every time we were teaching. And I encourage you, stay on the High Point website. There's lots of teachings that we do on Wednesday nights. And on Thursday morning, we have Healing School. And Sunday morning with Pastor Trey. Be a part. Be a part electronically if you can't be here in person. But we invite you to join us at any time. Thank you. God bless you.